The first reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 8, and it is verses 1 to 10. Deuteronomy chapter 8. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive trees and honey. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Our second reading is from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken away from her."
We ask our Father that as we come to these few short verses, that you would help us truly to shape our lives around them. In Jesus' name, amen. It is not a good thing to listen to Jesus. Getting up in the morning to read the Bible and pray, that is not a good thing. Memorizing and dwelling on individual Bible verses, not a good thing. It is not a good thing to listen to Jesus. And for those of you that are at home on camera, I need to say it's amazing, even with masks on, how horrified a room full of people can look as you say that. What is he saying? It is not a good thing to listen to Jesus. I mean that. I have a very serious point to make, which I believe is the burden of today's passage, and it's that it is not a good thing to listen to Jesus. It is the good thing, the only good thing, the first good thing. Not one good thing among many, but the only necessary good. And if to us, listening to Jesus has become one good thing to be fitted in somewhere into a day full of many good things, well, then we have misunderstood Jesus, what it is to follow him as a disciple, his kingdom and how it grows, and what it means to serve him. And Luke brings that home for us with a beautiful tale of two sisters. It's the story of two brilliant disciples. And on the handout, if you've got it, we're on point one. And Luke is going to use the two sisters to teach our main point. First one, one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary. And the story is told brilliantly and with real love. Luke tells us that he went round speaking to the eyewitnesses, and you really get the sense that he spent time with Martha and Mary, and that they got a lot of fun out of telling him this story, and that they wanted him to use it to make this very, very serious point. So Jesus, he is going village to village on his way to Bet Jerusalem and the cross, and there has been lots of rejection so far. On the page before, he's saying, "Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida." But here, verse 38, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And I've put some references on the sheet to show that she has done something significant there. It's not just that she runs a good B&B and is prepared to take someone in without an advance booking. Jesus, he has taught a binary in chapters 9 and 10. He sends out the 12 and then he sends out the 72. And both times he says they will either welcome you, receive you, or not welcome you, not receive you. And the root word is the same. Martha has welcomed Jesus. She is a disciple. She's converted. She's picked a side in the clash of kingdoms. She's taken a public stand in her community. She is with Jesus. So there is one model disciple. Then the next verse here is her sister Mary, verse 39, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. And the original is actually a bit sharper, a bit more resonant. She listened to his word. And maybe you don't need references to convince you that Mary has done something good there, but if you do, they're all listed under point two. Chapter 1, chapter 6, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 11. In Luke's gospel, there are these two big entry gates for a disciple of Jesus. Will you receive him? And will you listen to his words? And these sisters, they model one each. And it seems clear, doesn't it, what kind of episode this is going to be. It's going to be compare and accumulate and learn. We've got two good examples, the testimonies of two real people to how good it is to welcome Jesus and listen to Jesus. Brilliant. But then Luke doesn't play it the way we're expecting at all. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And real life just intrudes just a little bit. It's hard, isn't it, to welcome and listen? Because welcome under Middle Eastern hospitality rules means really quite a bit of cooking and flapping and table laying and rushing to the shop. And I guess we all know what that is like. I have just one, I think, genuinely distinguished friend. And he is the lead academic in the study of evangelical Christians. And he came to church with me here once, sat over there, and someone from his academic field was here and nearly swooned that he was here. The great man was in the building. He's lovely. He is unassuming. But he is genuinely distinguished. And he would use our house as his base in London on the kind deal that if he came, he would have a meal with some students and chat to them and sort of lift their gaze a bit. That was the deal. It was a good deal, dinner with the great man. And we did that four or five times or so over a few years, but twice in a row out of those four or five times, entirely through my fault, not his, twice he arrived a whole day earlier than we were expecting. The doorbell rings. Wonder who that is. David! How wonderful to see. Come in. Yes, of course the students are coming in 1 hour's time. Come on in. You just go up to your room and we'll sort everything out. Twice. And on both occasions, there was a certain amount of flapping to be ready to welcome the great man, and cooking and table laying and rustling up dinner, guests and dinner, to be honest, just so it could all happen. Now, that is what Martha is in the middle of. She is serving Jesus, which is another good word. Well done, Martha. And how much serving is there? There is much. Well, I bet there is. And how are you feeling, Martha? Distracted. Well, that's understandable, isn't it? So she comes through from the kitchen, and Sister Mary is sitting at the Lord's feet listening, and Sister Martha, coming in from much serving, feeling distracted. And you can imagine her however you would like to. I don't know, is there some kind of apron? Is there some food spilled on her top? Is she red in the face? Whatever you want, because what Luke cares about is what she said. And it is one of those stress moments when you think afterwards, with hindsight, you know, maybe we could have handled the interpersonals a bit better, maybe. But you know how it is when you're stressed and a bit short-tempered. So look down at verse 40 again. And she, Martha, went up to him, Jesus, and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." Slightly awkward, isn't it? You think maybe she'd already tried a couple of different ways. Maybe she'd come in with the nibbles and tried hinting to Mary, you know, "I've got lots on in the kitchen. Love to stay, but so much to do." Maybe she'd tried gesturing from behind the yucca plant. "You know, Mary, psst, Mary, come in the kitchen." But Mary, she just would not budge from where she was. And so she goes after Jesus rather than Mary. And she accuses him of not caring. And it's all a bit critical and a bit moany. But we have so much sympathy, don't we? Here are two good disciples. But one is letting the other one bear all of the burden of the important work. Get up and help. And we'll listen together later, once food is on the table. And we feel that, don't we? But how much more in Luke's culture and Luke's audience? Hospitality was sacred. Martha is here acting as head of household. And Mary appears to be a single woman who's attached to the household. So she is just part of the team. She shouldn't need to be asked. All hands on deck. And we are not supposed to have any doubt that Jesus will side with Martha. If we're intelligent readers, I think we've spotted now that the two sisters, it's going to be a compare and contrast, isn't it? Rather than a compare and accumulate. Okay, that's the way Luke's taking it. It's going to be the parable of how listening is good, but make sure you do the serving first. That's what it's going to be, isn't it? Listen after you've done the washing up. That's going to be the point. That's going to be the lesson we expect. So what Jesus says in verse 41, 42 is devastating. In the shock and the reversal of expectations, in the contrast. And that is why I opened the sermon the way I did this morning. Verse 41, "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" Do you see why I started the way I did? Martha's jaw dropped open in disbelief tells us something profoundly important. It is not a good thing to listen to Jesus, which you stop if there is some serving to be done. No, listening is the good thing, the only good thing, the first good thing, the only necessary thing. And I need to be clear, we're not talking here about different ways to listen to Jesus and which is best. This is not about a particular type of Bible notes or about the number of verses you can read in a given amount of time or about a particular time of day when you do it. Are you listening to Jesus is the one necessary thing in your life to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him? Or has that become one good thing among many to fit somehow into a busy day and busy week? And these two brilliant sisters, they are here to bring us up short. Martha, the Jesus welcomer, the Jesus server, she had misunderstood him and what it is to follow as a disciple and his kingdom and how it grows. And even Martha the servant, she has misunderstood what it means to serve him. And she is massively easy to empathize with, isn't she? I think actually the next three chapters, our whole series until Christmas, is aimed at disciples who feel like her, converted, picked aside, but worried and distressed about many things. Maybe picked up some complaints and some battle wounds and some tiredness. This is how to be a disciple if you feel like Martha. And with the rest of our time on the verses, I want to show you in point two what Mary had got right, and then in point three what Martha had got wrong. So point two, listening and discipleship. And there are some references on the handouts. Please turn back to Luke 9, verse 35. Luke 9, verse 35. It's the moment that we call the Transfiguration. It's when Jesus changes his appearance and three of his disciples, they see him as a heavenly being. And it really is the full God treatment. He's on a mountain with a cloud, with Moses and Elijah. And the outbox of all of that is in verse 35. This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. All the way back to the beginning of the Bible, we meet a speaking God, a God who is active and powerful by his words. And all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, we meet people who either do or do not listen. Stubborn, rebellious, and stiff-necked, or humble, soft-hearted, and devoted to my words. And throughout Luke's gospel, we meet this contrast. In the first chapter, there are two individuals. And I quite like the way this contrast through Luke sort of focuses on the other Mary, or one of the other Marys in the gospel, Jesus' mother Mary. So in the first chapter, two individuals receive impossible messages about pregnancies. And one of them has his words literally taken away. He is silenced, his ability to speak removed. Why? Because you did not believe my words. And the other one, she says, let it be according to your words, and is called blessed because of it. And I grew up knowing the Hail Mary, but I hadn't noticed that in the Hail Mary, they only give her two of her blesseds from Luke 1. I don't know if you know that, when really there should be three. So blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Yep, that's verse 42 of chapter 1. But the climax is verse 45. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her. Mary is a believer, a listener to the word. That's what's blessed about Jesus' mother. She listened and believed in the word. Then chapter 6 contrasts a wise builder and a foolish builder. Rob Scott, who looks after our international mission partners, he's brought a fantastic DVD home with him from Bangladesh, which tells this parable as the two builders of the outside toilet, the wise and the foolish. And I'm not going to say too much, but I tell you, you really don't want to be the foolish builder when the monsoon comes. And the difference in chapter 6, will you hear my words and do them? The good soil in chapter 8 is the person who, hearing the word, holds it fast in an honest and good heart and bears fruit with patience. But turn to 8 verse 21. So 8 verse 21, we're back to Hail Mary again. Who does Jesus think are the members of his family? Who does he treat with all the honour due to a mother? Verse 21, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. To a Catholic child, it sounds almost blasphemous, doesn't it? You can have the place of Jesus' mother if you just would listen to his word. But turn on to 11 verse 27 to check that. So here in 11:27 is the prototype Irish Catholic. I think this could be my grandmother. Okay, in 11:27. 11:27, as he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. I think that is just perfect Irish Catholic piety. Okay, it's matriarchal, it's slightly too biological, and it's blessed be the mother of Jesus. Okay, it's all there. Except that Jesus won't have it. Verse 28, he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Do you see the point that Luke is accumulating? The Son of God, the dazzling chosen one of God, the one who can make you blessed and make you his mother or brother or sister. He is in the next room speaking. And Martha, why are you doing the washing up? Or he is on the pages of that book that you keep by your bed or on the shelf downstairs. He is speaking. Why are you watching Netflix? Or keep pushing it further. I think taking straight from Martha, if you have a clean house and cooked dinners, but don't have time to listen to Jesus, what's going on? If you have full diaries and no space to listen to Jesus, then empty them. If your children have new shoes and the right uniform and face masks and whatever else they need for this week, but you and they have not time to listen to Jesus, then something has gone wrong in the preparations for the new term. If you have well-maintained careers, but no time for Jesus and listening to him, and he is speaking, then something has gone wrong. His words are so wonderful. You are blessed. You are his mother. You are his brother. If you would sit at his feet and listen. And if you're here in the Bible, in the building today, and you don't own a Bible, then I assure you, someone here will buy you one to take with you. And if you are at home and you don't have a Bible, then the internet, it is full of free Bibles. Why not start at the beginning of Luke's Gospel and see how long it takes you to catch up with this sermon series? He is speaking. Only one thing is necessary. Will we listen? Which brings us, point three, to Martha and why she doesn't listen. Point three, listening and distraction. And it is important not to miss how much love there is in what Jesus says to Martha. He drops his bombshell without any compromise at all. He's not hedging his bets. Mary is right and Martha is wrong. But he sees Martha in her trouble and her distraction. And he loves her so much. And our section of Luke this autumn, it is a section about discipleship and about growth. We've called the series Growth Conditions. What are the conditions necessary to make Jesus' kingdom grow? And our series is going to end with Jesus saying his kingdom is like a mustard seed that became a tree. What are the growth conditions? Answer, disciples. And a particular kind of disciples. Martha needs to become like Mary if the kingdom is to grow. But Martha, doesn't she? She just looks like the kind of disciple who will grow the kingdom, doesn't she? She'd be on the committee. She'd be busy making things happen. You know there would be plenty of food at anything that she arranges. But broadly, Mary will grow the kingdom. And Martha won't. Or put it another way, until we decide to devote ourselves to listening to Jesus, you and I are unlikely to be of any use to him. I just think that the pen portrait of Martha, it's so brilliant, isn't it? It's meant to have teeth for us, but it's also meant to encourage us. There is a way to stop being Martha. So let's just look briefly. What is it that distracts her from listening? Three things, I think. Shockingly, it is her service of Jesus. Martha was distracted with much serving. It is the other good things. She's made listening to Jesus just one good thing, like serving him. But actually, much serving has stopped her listening, and it has, second thing, it has poisoned her relationship with Jesus and with the other disciples around her. That's all there in that sort of nasty, oblique approach, isn't it? Tell my sister. It's real playground stuff, isn't it? I'm not talking to her. Jesus, pass a message to Mary. And even with Jesus, Jesus, don't you care? Does that sound familiar? If we are busy and stressed out for Jesus, but not actually listening to him, well, it's easy to resent even him. But then more than anything, third, it is her anxieties and her troubles, verse 41. And Jesus, he doesn't say those aren't real, and he clearly does care about them and about her, but he says one thing is necessary, even above your worries and your troubles. And our three chapters that we're going to have about discipleship and growth, it includes in its central chapter 53 verses on discipleship and anxiety. It's very interesting, isn't it? Martha leads off the section, worried and troubled about many things. Middle of the section, anxious disciples. Here is Jesus helping us. It's a section to help Martha to truly serve Jesus in a troubled and anxious world. So what do we say this morning? I think if you are serving, but without listening to Jesus, please stop. By which I mean, I hope mainly, please start listening to Jesus and then go on serving. But you cannot do any good in his kingdom unless listening to him comes first. Or if you want to serve him more or better, well, then listen to Jesus' words more. How about the crisis of the hour? This is what the crisis of the hour needs, listening to Jesus. Whatever you think the crisis of the hour is, whether Christendom has collapsed for you or COVID has emptied churches or secularism is on the march, the crisis, it doesn't call for frantic, stressed out activity like Martha, but quick, get to action stations and let's do some urgent listening to Jesus. And particularly, this section is for us where listening has become one good thing among many, where listening to Jesus belongs in a good day where nothing goes wrong, but sometimes, you know how it is, something more important crops up. So I just want to finish with a story about a moment when I realized another Christian really meant this and lived it in their life. It was back when I was a student worker and I was on a conference for other student workers, and we were all moaning about what it was like working with students. We had been asked about our, sorry, there's some students in the room. We'd been asked about our times reading the Bible and listening to Jesus, and we were saying how it was so difficult. Because the students, they make you stay up late and they make you get so tired. And you know, it's bad to be tired. So there are some days, aren't there? Some weeks, there are several days when it's just not possible to get up on time and read the Bible. Do you hear all Martha's three things there? Some serving, some moaning, and some worries. Be too tired. And we were all chuntering on and on like this until a friend of mine had had enough. And Matthew, he said, why not just be tired? And he stopped. Why not just be tired and get up and read the Bible anyway? Meaning, really, is this listening to Jesus, is it one good thing in your day, or is it the good thing in your day? And obviously, if you need more sleep, well, then go to bed earlier or have a nap on the weekend or whatever it is, but don't replace the one necessary thing. If you are a follower of Jesus and you understand him at all, then you want to pay attention when he says what is most important. So shall we make this new term, this new academic year, shall we make it all about sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him? Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Amen.